Okay, so how do we get things done and not just dream about it? You know, we've been setting some goals. We've been looking at vision and dreams. We've been making plans. We've been brain dumping ideas. But inevitably, one of the biggest things that my coaching clients come to me and they ask me about, they say, "Hey, Cindy, I've done this. I've brain dumped a million times. I've got so many journals full, but how do I get this stuff done? How do I actually make this happen?" And here tonight, I'm really excited to get to share with you some of the things that I call them disciplines. I call them things that through the years have really made a huge difference in my life to help me to be the most productive. And some of you've probably heard me talk about it, but putting it together, marrying it with the fact of having the goals, having your vision, having your dreams, I hope that this will help you to be more productive as well. The first thing I want to talk about is, of course, I firmly believe that if there's nothing else I do that really helps the most, it would have to be taking time with the Lord daily. Because here's what happens with me. I am a big dreamer, a big planner. I love having lots of ideas that float. I get totally invigorated, like so many of you. I get totally invigorated whenever I start thinking about ideas and about plans. And one of the things I have to really watch out for is whenever I start getting things going, and if it's not a God thing, that hard work that happens as a result. Does anybody know what I'm saying here? Because here's what happens. I can have a great plan, and it can be a plan that I believe God is going to even bring out later. And yet, if it's not in the right timing, or it's not in the, hearing Him for how it's supposed to even be produced, it starts to become a work that can literally choke me down. Now, here's the difference. If God is putting it into my heart and saying, "Now's the time," then I'm invigorated by Holy Spirit and everything shifts. Everything changes. A few weeks ago, we had Jeffrey Hardwick here in the room. And then even last week, we had Lucia Claiborne here in the room. And the reason that they were part of this challenge is because I totally believe that we will get totally misled by our own ideas, our own plans, unless we sit at the feet of the Lord and we say, "Okay, Lord, today, what is your plan? Today, what is your thing you want us doing?" Unless we get to that place where we can sit at His feet and just soak in and really be receptive when He says, "Do this, do that." Unless we can get there, I believe we just miss things. And so sometimes we miss things that we don't include with our plans. And sometimes we miss it because we've got so many other things we're throwing out there that we are ineffective for what He's called us to really be about and to do. You know, one good example was just, you know, Arilla was just asking me if I had gotten to homeschool with the grandbaby today, because yesterday Whitney and I went shopping and we had a blast. You've not been out a whole lot when you get excited getting to go to Dollar Tree. Well, I don't know. Maybe I would anyway. I don't know. Maybe I would get excited anyway. But when you get excited going to Dollar Tree and Target, I mean, I felt like I was in heaven. It was really weird. It was really weird. I have to be honest. It was very weird. Okay. But the weirdest part is that part of me that just totally makes sense. Because through the years, if you've heard me through the years, you probably heard me say, "Want to romance me? Get me post-it notes." I mean, I'm fully believing that one day I'm going to get a bouquet of post-it notes, but, you know, because I just love it. I love post-it notes. I love gel pens, love journals. Whitney, I think, got tickled at me because there was a part of me that was like, "Oh, do you see all the post-it notes? Look at all the sizes." And I was like, "Do you ever get out?" Well, kind of, sort of. So it was so much fun getting to go out. But here was the fun part. I've been planning for a few weeks that I wanted to do some lap books and some notebooking with the grandchildren. And I literally found some cute, cute, like flashcards and things that I can use in a lap book with Oliver. Today, he was so excited. He actually made me to sit down and play flashcards with him. And we had just such a great time getting to do colors and shapes. And
yeah, I'm ready when you guys are.
Let me make sure that's muted. There we go. There we go. Did we do that? Let me see. Here we go. I think it's doing it, is it? My computer is not letting me do what I want it to do. Hey, Kelly, do you want to mute your voice? Okay, I think we... Okay, there we go. We got it now. Cool. Okay. So, but anyway, we had so much fun doing colors and shapes, and we weren't planning on playing a game with it, but we ended up playing a game with it rather than doing our lap book. It was just so much fun. But anyhow, here's the thing that I wanted to use this as a point is that, you know, unless we're really hearing God, I think we get so busy, we don't slow down for those really special moments like that. We get so busy with all the stuff that's on our agenda that we want to get done for the day. And we miss the things that really, really matter to us. And of all things, I sure don't want to do that. To me, the funny part is when I take the time with the Lord, when I take time with family, when I even take time with friends, when it's planned time with friends, when I do that, it's amazing how much I still get done. I believe that's because God wants for us to hear Him for priorities, and priorities to Him are relationships. So that is part of why we want to be more productive. We want to be more productive because we have a lot to impart to our families. We have a lot to impart to our friends. And a lot to impart into our culture. And so that time with Him helps us to stay focused on what really, really needs to be done. It helps us to be able to hear Him when something needs to be scrapped or when something needs to be brought in. It helps us to stay the course. And I firmly believe that every single time that I bring things to Him, it's like everything shifts, everything changes to where I can literally, at that point, get more done, but also it's easier. So first things first, having that time with the Lord. The next thing is I firmly believe, I'm saying that a lot today, I believe that probably one of the second things that really makes a huge difference is going to be having some time where you can sit down and brainstorm, brain dump, research. Have that time where this is a part of planning, but it's still its own discipline. Because here's what I find. I find that whenever I am trying to get a lot of things done, there's usually a lot going on in my head, and I get more and more cluttered in my brain. Do y'all know what I'm saying when I'm talking about being cluttered in our brains? I get more and more cluttered in my brain, and nothing seems to, it doesn't seem to clear out anything. Nothing else seems to clear me out like sitting down, having some time to just brainstorm, brain dump, get some time to like look up Bible verses and look up passages, look up ideas, brainstorm out systems. Those things always seem to clear me out where I can relax, I can enjoy, I can focus in on what really the next step is going to be. Otherwise, what happens, this is what happens in my brain. Tell me if it works the same in yours. But what happens in my brain is I'm afraid I'm going to forget it. I'm afraid that I'm going to miss that step. I'm afraid that that right there might be missed completely, because if I don't get that done right then, or if I don't keep it on my mind so I don't forget it, then it's like that right there makes me think I'm going to miss it. And how do I know that? Because I've done it so many times before. I have so often had those moments where I've had something on my mind, didn't write it down, and totally spaced and couldn't remember anything about what it was. I tried going through all the different things I had thought about, all the things I'd done, and could never get it right back. Well, the one thing that helps me so much is having a place for all that brainstorming, all of that, when I'm working through a system, or all the, if I'm working through ideas, like planning a project or planning an event, all of that, having a place for that where I can brain dump it, have it in a safe space where I can come back to that. It's like all of a sudden, it's like emptying out clogged up sink. You know what I'm saying? Where all of the stuff goes out, that's all foggy and all muddy looking, and all of a sudden everything becomes clear. So that is one of the disciplines I think that really helps us to get things done and not just dream about it. Now, what do you have to do with it after that? I believe after that is the next discipline, but it's also key. I believe that we have to plan, and in planning, that means that we go back. We go back regularly. We go back each year. We go back each quarter. We go back each month. We go back each week. We go back each day, making sure that we are working a plan. And by the way, we are working a plan. I don't know what your thing that you, I mean, a lot of plans we already have in motion. A lot of things we already have in motion. We already are doing a lot of great things. And it's just simply habit. It's just simply lifestyle. It's simply what we do. It's the life that we live. But then there are going to be those things that we don't have down, the things that we really have to work hard and we have to focus in and we have to be intentional about doing. For me right now, getting out, running, staying active, that is still not totally into my day. And that is one thing that has been one of my goals in this, in the productivity challenge, because I know that whenever I am my healthiest, I am also my most productive. So I have been working at that, trying to get that in. But let me tell you, it means I have to check my list every day and hold myself accountable and say, okay, have you been active today? Have you been moving more today than you did yesterday? Are you doing this? Are you sticking to your commitment? Or is this just one of those things you really don't mean again? Don't let yourself down. I've had to do this talk to myself. Don't let yourself down by not getting around to doing this. And because if this really means what you say it means, you have to stick with this until it becomes life, Cindy. I have to talk to myself like that. And so it has to be in the plan, and it has to be something that I'm holding myself accountable for each and every day. And so let's talk about the day real quick, because I really want to talk, I really want this to get some teeth to where we get this done and we don't just dream about it. Let's start at the year. Have you guys in this challenge, I don't know how many of you have chosen, and I pray every one of you have chosen to get a good look at your year, to get some yearly planning where you could get some brain dumping done. You could ask yourself what needs to be the priorities for this year. What needs to be something that I need to put in motion? What are some things I need to prune away so that I can bring some new things into motion? What does my day look like? What does my year look like? What do I want my life to look like? What does this business or ministry look like? I hope you've gotten some time to sit and really unpack that. If you haven't, seriously, I understand you guys are busy right now, but the best thing you'll do for yourself is to take some time away to really do that homework. Now, this may take you a few months. It may even take, some of you may need some time where you and I get together and we do some coaching where we work through and troubleshoot in this area to see what your life looks like and to see how to get this thing into implementation. I just want to challenge you that this community here, you've got even this week where these sessions, like when I get off the mic tonight, we can troubleshoot, and as a community, we can troubleshoot your day, your year, whatever that is. If this has not been done, let's work on it together. You've got free coaching this month. And so please grasp a hold of that and take advantage of that when you've got these moments, because this is that, it could be one little thing that can make a world of difference. I remember when I was told to write down my resolutions, and everybody writes down resolutions, right? Well, I didn't, because really they didn't mean that much. I could kind of go, oh, I want to do blah, 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 blah. But it was more than just writing down a list of, you know, 5 to 10 things I wanted to do in the year. It was way more than that. In fact, it was instead, it was my writing down my resolutions meant that I was writing down my yearly plan of the things that I really wanted to do. For me, that meant that I usually try to pick at least 3 things, and sometimes not much more than 3, that if it's something that's not in my life that I really want to see those shifts and those changes that I can put into motion. I can, maybe if I'm trying to get fit and healthy, that is my goal for this year. That right there means that I have got to make this a daily thing every single day. It's got to be a discipline issue. It's got to be a part of choices and holding myself accountable each and every day. One of the things that was actually on my resolutions this year, and I'm really kind of excited to actually be full-time in ministry again. But that was on my goals. It was on the things that I was working toward. And to me, it's just amazing how God already made that happen in at the beginning of March. I was thinking it was going to be at least another 6 months to maybe even a whole year. I didn't quite have the vision for the timing. And it wasn't exactly because it was what I wanted it to be, by the way, when it happened. But whenever I asked him for what I needed, the funny thing is how he has made the provision for what I felt like I needed in my mind to step forward into that thing. This is what we're talking about, is having that time where you can say, okay, God, what do you want for my year this year? Really, what do you want? I'm not saying it's what we want. If you look in the action guide for this week, you're going to see that the action guide has some of this that we're working on together in the action guide of really asking him, okay, what is it that you want? I talk about in there, because the reason I talk about that is it's not about what Cindy wants. It's not what anybody else in the community wants for each of us. It's about what his plan, his will, his way is. First of all, that's going to be your main way that you're going to actually get the things accomplished on your list that are on your list. I can tell you, if it's not his will, if it's not done his way, we're going to struggle and we might get a lot of things done, but there is something about taking that to the Lord and asking him, hey, here's plans. What do you want for this year? What is it? And being totally surrendered and going for it. Not letting yourself talk yourself out of the dreams, but also not being so crowded with all the things that you would like to do that you're not surrendering those ideas for the good thing. Sometimes I have to tell you the other day what I did. Instead of doing something I love to do, you know what I did? I scrubbed the toilet. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm really needing to step out and to do something that is more challenging, more something that I know I'm really, really supposed to be about, that's when my toilets are the cleanest. That's when my tub is the cleanest. It's when my refrigerator is the cleanest. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? Why? Because I will do anything rather than do the thing I need to get done. And this is why we take the whole year. This is why we take the quarter. This is why we take the month. This is why we take the week and why we take the day before the Lord. And we surrender it. We take it as a living sacrifice before him and say, God, I want what your will is. Your good, your pleasing, your amazing will for me. Tell me what it is. And then you take it back out there and you put it into action. So when I'm looking at my year, I brain dump all the things that I would love to see this year. Things like, you know, projects, things like activities, things like goals for my personal life, my professional life, my ministry life, goals for family, goals for finances, I write it all down. Now, when I say that, when I say write it all down, why? Well, I want to tell you there's a couple reasons. Number one, I think, again, it clears your brain, it clears your mind. And then the other thing of why, the reason why, is I love looking back. Think about how incredible it is. Like, I just look back at my quarter, and everything on my resolution list was marked off. I want to tell you guys what that felt like coming into the second quarter. It meant that I had to set bigger goals, broader goals, bigger dreams, that I had to dare to think bigger. It expanded me. It also fired me up because here's the thing. I want to do the things that God wants for me, but sometimes I put my own little brakes on. There's that, there's a cute little meme I saw just the other day, and it was kind of like footprints, but it was like, hey, instead of footprints where God's carrying me, mine have trenches dug for my heels being dug into the sand. And it just kind of cracked me up because I thought, so relate, so get it. I don't want to be like that, but there's a part of me that is. And it's usually over the things that are stretching me. They're stretching me bigger. The things that are demanding that I literally do the thing that I can't make happen in myself, that I have to join up with the Lord. And I have to let Him be the one who does miracle working. And He does that, but there's something about me, and I think something about us, that if we get a lot of our plans in motion, as a matter of fact, some of my story of being with my coach back a few months ago, some of that story relates to all of us, doesn't it? Where she told me to take out a piece of paper, and she asked me, you know, if I were going to, and this is not the piece of paper, but to imagine myself here, you know, like where I am and where I want to go. She asked me to write down, like, what was the big thing that I was dreaming? Wrote it down. Excuse me. I wrote it down. And then she said, so what's between here and here? You know, and I start writing down things. She says, whoa, 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 whoa. She says, what if it could be this? And you could actually do that now. Like, why don't you put that on your schedule right now? Oh, you guys, I know I must have squealed because there was this part of me that just absolutely was stretched as if I'd been stretched around the globe. But over that one idea, the funny part, let me just tell you this. The funny part is she, at that time, she said, Cindy, what if you put that out there and you say, this is what I want. And what if God has that right person that can partner up with you that maybe is looking for someone to do what you they need you to do their dream and to fulfill the thing that God's called them to do? She said, God doesn't always provide through finances. There are times that His provision as Jehovah Jireh is through connections and through relationships and through each person being positioned perfectly with one another to be able to then step in and do the thing that they are called to do together. Well, then that made me a little happier, to be honest. But here's the funny thing. It wasn't even a week later. That dream is in motion. It's in motion. It's on the calendar. Actually, I was just before this afternoon, I was thinking through going, okay, God, since we're doing this, is that funny? Those who know me know that's funny. You have to know that's funny because I count the cost. I count the cost in my time. I count the cost in my capacity. I count the cost in my finances. But you know what I failed to do is count the cost in God's deliverance and His ability to be the God who can do impossible things. Are y'all with me? I believe that's why we have to sit at His feet and say, God, I'm planning this year with you. Help to stretch me. Give me your plan. Show me what you have to say about this year. What is it you want for this year? What is it you want going into the quarter. What is it that you want for this quarter? Looking at things and seeing what he's leading in. Maybe he's bringing something new that you're finally ready to hear. Is anybody hearing me? Because you weren't there at the beginning of the year. And you didn't see a possibility for him being able to do that at the beginning of the year. You guys, I have got a plethora of things that were not a possibility in January that now are a reality and that are demanding that I put those things, those types of things on the calendar this quarter. How about you? Has he shifted some of it? Don't be mad at him about it. Be happy about it. Be happy you are hearing him and that you're willing to honor him and you're willing to step into that position. Because I can tell you, when you are yoked up with him, when you're doing the thing he calls you to do, you talk about ultimate productivity. Oh, yeah. What about the month? We are about to hit a new month. What are you going to do this month that's going to be so great, so impossible, God's got to pull you through? Are you doing anything like that? Are you just sitting there comfortable going, okay, I got this. I got this. I can do this. Come on. Who wants to be brave? What are you doing that is going to take a miracle to make it happen? Is there anything? Is there anything that you know is a now word that you've got to share? Is there a now thing that you've got to do? Is there a something that, because let me just say this. I remember a few months ago, I had my sweet friend, Gina Paris, and she may be online somewhere here. But Gina and I were talking, and she was talking about that her panic, the Lord told her, her panic, her pain was her purpose, and it was her provision. I have to think that some of you have got some things you've gone through that are very difficult. I have them myself. And it's not an accident that God is calling you to deliver that to the world. Is this the month? Or is it the month where maybe you got to develop it a little bit more and put it back? I have some things like that. I have some messages that I'm not putting out right now. But I've got a project I started working on 7 years ago that's being wrapped up this week. It makes my heart so full. It's the right time. And God said, okay, this pain that you one time had of crying over being feeling so frustrated as a mommy homeschooling your little one, that it's time for that message to be out there for others. Take it. It's time to now do it. And it's like happening easy. Does that make sense? God is good like that. When he says time to do it, he makes it easy. But you know what? We have got to sit at his feet with our plans, and we've got to dare to plan. We've got to have that time, because if not, it's going to be just dreaming it, thinking it, wishing it, and it won't be doing it. It won't be executing it. It won't be making it happen, making it a reality. Another thing is going to be setting firm deadlines. Now that goes on to where I'm talking about our week and our day. That's why I wanted to throw this in. Once you get into your month and you pick the project you're going to be working on, then there need to be some firm deadlines. What week will you do what? When will this thing be done? How will you fit the time to work on whatever that is into your schedule? Okay, if things don't happen on the day they're supposed to, they don't happen. Some of you probably saw that last week where I had so much going on. I didn't quite get finished with the, I was like 20 pages of editing away from being done with our action guide for this course. And didn't get it done, did not get done officially until this afternoon. And that delayed other things like the one for this week. You know what? I hope that you guys know I'm practicing what I preach right here. I know that you guys are more than glorious and more than patient whenever I miss some deadlines that are my self-imposed deadlines. However, I'm telling you, if I miss them, they probably won't happen unless I'm careful. I mean, really, really careful to work, and if I can find some time. But I have all my time pretty much scheduled. Again, even margin, But I'm funny about the margin. I'm funny about the family time, because you know what? Don't get those things back. And if things don't fit there, and then I'm telling you, it just doesn't happen. Sometimes I'm a lot harder on myself than I should be, but I'm telling you guys, if you can look at what you're working on and set some deadlines, and I'm talking about be hard on them. If it misses this point, then getting it by this point. There have been many, many times. Of course, I couldn't do it this past week. You should have seen all that I was having to do this week. I'm in my master's program, and when you have a finals week like last week was, it's kind of like, okay, I'm just glad I'm here. You know, it is what it is. But man, like yesterday alone, I wrote 30 pages, and they weren't just 30 pages. They were 30 pages of scholarly resources. 15, I think I ended up with like 90 different footnotes. I mean, it was serious. It was a serious, serious paper, and very good, very good. It made me very proud. Made me want to write a book is what it made me do after I was finishing it. But you know, the only way to be able to do those things is to have set time. That's the only way. I have to have set time that's non-negotiable. It means a lot of things have to go. It means that there are a lot of really good things that I could be a part of, but I just can't do it because this is what I choose as the things that I want, that I want to do what God has asked me to do, and nothing else. If God has told me, if he's told me specifically to do the things he's told me to do, he's provided the means for me to do it. Sometimes the things I have to sacrifice are so amazing, or things have to be a certain, they have to be maybe stretching me of my expectations of how I have to deliver things. It may have to stretch me, but I can tell you that the things that God gives are so good, and they require that they're on the calendar, that they are firm deadlines. I don't sway away from it. When it gets tough, I dig my heels in and get it done, because these are character issues. These are character qualities that I believe God wants for us to have so we can truly get things done and do things well. So set firm deadlines, you know, and hold yourself accountable, making sure that like every day that you are doing something, working toward that goal, that you're doing something, working toward the big plan that you have. Ask yourself every single day, before the day is up, before you chill out and do your Netflix thing, ask yourself, did I do the things that I said yesterday were going to be most important? And what do I do tomorrow? Have that time taking it before the Lord again, asking him for his schedule, his way of doing things each week, each month, each week, each day. And then give yourself some accountability. Ask yourself every single day, hey, did I do it? If not, how am I going to make this happen? You know, I for years had the, what I call my post-it note, method of planning, where I'll have my list, and I love post-it notes rather than writing it in the planner a lot of times, because I can take it. If it doesn't all get done, I can move it to the next day. But here's what I realized. There were some things that were getting moved and moved so much that the sticky stopped. That's when I had to say, okay, Cindy, do you really want this? Is this something that is really important to you? Because if it's important to you, you are going to have to get things done. There was a book I read several years ago. It's called Eat That Frog or Eat This Frog. And it's about procrastination. It's absolutely one book that really sticks into my head. When I start seeing myself with something I don't necessarily want to do, that I keep procrastinating over and over and over, I remember this book, and it had this, the basic principle was, okay, if you've got a lot of things to do and you're finding yourself procrastinating, then get in there and you look out in that pond and you get the ugliest, biggest frog you can get, and you eat that frog, okay? Well, there's going to be those things that need to get done that maybe you don't want to get around to doing. And again, it may be like I was talking about a few minutes ago, you find yourself cleaning the toilets and you find yourself cleaning the tub, you find yourself cleaning out the microwave and the fridge. Y'all know what I'm talking about when you do that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you like that. I don't. But if I find myself doing that, I kind of go, I always make myself laugh. Like, what are you avoiding? And there's usually something I'm avoiding. Come on. That's why we have to be, first of all, true to ourselves and saying, okay, if I know I'm supposed to be doing this and it's really important to me, I've heard the Lord say, do it. Then why am I not doing it? Come on. Set those deadlines. And I'm talking about, like, my rule personally is if it moves days 3 times, then I eat the frog. Y'all know what I'm saying here? No matter what the schedule looks like, if I move it 3 times, boom, I better have moved it wisely. If I think I'm not going to get it done on, you know, like the next day, I may move it 2 days, but I don't move it more than 3 times. I eat the frog. So set some firm deadlines. I believe that this is a discipline that some of you are going to, especially those of you who are moving into ministry and business, it sounds like a lot of freedom, but you have to work with the same integrity, the same excellence inside your business and ministry that you work outside of it working for someone else. And likewise, if you're working for someone else, you have to work with the same excellence and the same integrity, making sure that you pour into their businesses or their ministries just like you would your own. It's that same character. And so be true to what you say that you want to be about. Do it and work as unto the Lord, because it is unto the Lord. Okay. The next thing is prepare great products, prepare great services. Decide right now that you don't have to have something that is just like huge. I find myself being stretched lately to just simplify and make sure that my products are what are the very, very best. And the best used to have a definition of having everything you needed as a go-to resource in that particular product. Now, a lot of people want simpler. They want things to be simpler to where they can actually apply it and use it. So a lot of my product development and services development has shifted and it's changed. Some of it hasn't. Because some of it, like this challenge here, for example, I can't even tell you how many of you have given me feedback and said, too much. I'm proud that you said that. I agree. I had a very hard time once I got into this. This probably is going to be redeveloped, get this, by your request into a whole yearly program. I love that you guys love me. And you guys that are a member of this, you will get a free membership to that. And that, I think, will be broken down into a lot better pieces. I think you guys are going to love it. So that's even the more reason to go and grab the set if you haven't at CindyRushton.com, looking in my e-store for Ultimate Productivity Challenge. But yes, it is. I agree with you. Once I got into it, after I'd already advertised what I was going to do, God just kept giving me so many things. And it is really one of the biggest things I've developed in a long time. Here's the thing. That is not your model. However, if you want to really look at the typical way and I'm happy to work with some of you on products, the typical way that people are preparing, and I've challenged myself to this. I've been working on some different things myself, that I think that this is probably something that we're going to be doing. I definitely know we'll be doing it in October for our challenge. But anyway, we're going to be working on some of these principles coming up, but here's what I want to recommend. I want to recommend that you guys look at some things, like say you need, for example, to develop something for a gift for those who join your mailing list. Well, I would recommend having something that you can take from idea to conception to done, from idea to done. within 30 minutes, maybe an hour. I'll give some of you an hour. For me, it means 30 minutes. It means a deadline. Because I've got all these ideas that have been brain dumped into my notebooks. I've got all these things that I want to create that I could literally sit down at with any one of them and pop out 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, whatever your number is, whatever you're trying to create. But I'm talking about plan it, execute it, and finish it up within that 30 minutes to an hour. Here's why I say that. It's because it doesn't let you chase rabbits. It doesn't let you add this and that to it. It means that you actually know enough about it. You're an authority. Are y'all hearing me on this one? It's like you actually know enough that topic, you can share it just because of what's on your heart, what's on your mind, what you've experienced. So that would be a fun thing for you to prepare a product and then use that as your model for where you go from now on, okay? Not saying that you don't prepare. I prepare all the time for everything that I do. However, I've tried to get myself away from the days and days and days of writing on a manuscript. Oh my goodness, I keep adding more. And I keep adding more, and I keep adding more, and it ends up being way too much. It's hard for me to deliver. It's too cluttered up. It's too chaotic. And the best thing I'll ever do for myself and for those who listen to anything I do that I or read anything I prepare is for me to tone it down and to just find that valuable nugget. I read about this actually in a class I took in school. His name just went out of my brain. Andy Stanley. He has a book that is on for speakers. And if any of you are interested in being speakers, that book would be awesome. You would find that tonight Cindy's got too many points. is what you would find. He has this wonderful sermon preparation that his book is about sermon preparation or a topic preparation. And what he said is to make sure you know the one thing you want for them to take away. And then you build your sermon around that. It is at, or your topic around that is absolutely wonderful. But it supports what I just said just then. Of getting in your head, like, what is that one thing I want to share? And take that idea and put it out there. But prepare great products. Here's another thing about preparing great products. I know that several of you are working on some different projects that are way bigger as projects. And some of those are yearly continuity programs where you're doing membership sites or membership. You're doing regular topics that you're going to be preparing for coaching and different things you're doing for even podcasts. These same principles help apply there. It's thinking out what you want, but then it's also, once you've got that plan, get in there and you prepare that great product. And give it everything you've got. Make sure it's that thing that you really know, that you're really passionate about, that people come to you and they ask you about that. I kind of think about, for example, Lucia. I'm going to pick on you tonight. Lucia, I know that if I call her, I'm probably having a crisis of my faith. Well, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just want to go blah, 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 like I get. But most of the time I'll have a crisis of my faith. And getting to pick her brain and hear, I mean, what it means is it means I know on her heart she already hears God so well that she's going to give me the word and she's going to help build my faith. Well, isn't it amazing that one of her projects coming up is all about that? I think it is spot on. She's preparing a great product that is like packaging herself to give to other people every single month, a bit of her. I love it. Okay. That's what we're talking about. So these are disciplines. These are disciplines that we commit as Christian men and women to prepare those great products. And that means that, you know, probably 90% of what you get is going to be specifically for you. It's going to be things that are going into your heart, that are feeding your mind, that are feeding your heart, that are lessons that you're learning. But then it's going to be so precious to you that what will happen with that, you will then be able to then give it to others as a gift. It's going to be so beautiful and so well packaged. And that's what we're talking about. So getting it done and not just dreaming about it, the next thing I would say is learning to fit it all into your schedule. You know, it's good whenever I give you a lot of ideas. However, the bottom line is this is your life. This is your lifestyle. This is your ministry. This is your business. And I firmly believe that you can go out there and you can try to do all the greatest, newest ideas, and they're not going to work for you. Unless they're your thing, unless it's fitting into your schedule, unless it's a part of your life that you really, really want to live. So one of the things that will help you to get things done and not just dream about it is making sure it fits into your day and into your life. When I asked you guys a few weeks ago, what is your idea of your perfect day? I'm not asking you to set yourself up for failure. I'm asking you to look at what needs to be a part of your day and get real about it and say, okay, if this is not important to me, if this is not something that I automatically think of when I think about a great day that I want to, the life I want to live, then you know what? We need to renegotiate it. Many years ago, I remember grumbling about something. I was busy doing something, and my husband was going to go and have fun with his friends shooting, and I was kind of like irritable because I was thinking, oh my goodness, you know, he gets to have so much fun, and then here I am, I'm just always having to work at the house, I'm having to work. And he said something that shook me up, and it still makes me think about this whenever I am thinking about my schedule and my life. He said, Cindy, you're in charge of your schedule. You can live the life you want to live. So do it. And I went, duh. You know, I mean, really, really. We pick what we do. But there's something, can I get really raw here and, I mean, say some things here? There's something about us that, you know, what makes us get into that place where we do things just because of like pleasing other people or because we've always done it this way or whatever that thing is. You guys, we all have our stuff, don't we? So today, prepare your schedule and make sure that what you really want is on that schedule. And make sure that it fits that. If there's things that are on that schedule that you don't really want, you need to really do some serious looking at that. Does it need to go? Because does it have to be there? Does it have to be there? The one thing we never can get back, we can get back money, we can get back stuff, we can have other relationships. We can do a lot of things, but I'm telling you, the eternal things are things we don't get to do a different way. And our time is one of those eternal treasures. It's one of those that I believe we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to be accountable for how we have spent our time. And there's going to be so much of it. I do believe that's going to be that stubble that just burns up. It's the stuff that doesn't matter. It's the trash. It's the trinkets. And so it's making sure that what we do really fits in the schedule. If things are not fitting in the schedule, if we're not having margin, if it's not the flow we want for it to be, we really need to sit down and look and see, okay, first of all, am I going by the schedule? Am I implementing the things that really mean a lot to me? Am I sticking to the commitments that mean the most to me? Are they my first things? You know, I have a thing that you're going to see in the action guide when you guys download it. And it talks about, okay, selective procrastination. That is one of my biggest tools that I use. And what it is, it's, okay, I want to do this. I think I might can do this. But it's just not right up there at the very top of my priorities. Well, you know what? It's at the end of the day. If there's still energy, if there's still time, if there's still capacity, go for it. If not, okay. There are a lot of things I put into that category. Now, the problem comes if I put getting fit and healthy there today. Are y'all hearing me? When you've heard me say that's one of my priorities for the year, then if that gets shoved down there and it doesn't happen for 2 or 3 days or a month, a week, and you know it's a priority, I have to, again, go back and say, Cindy, is this what you really want? Didn't you say you wanted that? And kind of give myself a little bit of a hard time for it. Or I have to put it first and nothing else gets done. Or put it at the day where I don't get to go to sleep unless I get out there and pound some pavement. I like that too, by the way. But it's making sure there's no excuses. No excuses that it fits into the schedule or the schedule has to start being shifted. So fit things into your schedule. Then balance. Oh, yeah. People say you can't balance. Well, yes, you can. You have to. You have to. I believe from the bottom of my heart that all of life is about balancing. Now, sometimes we're going to be having more of an effort on some things because they have deadlines than other things. But we cannot keep our life in that kind of a balance or we're going to fall to pieces. For example, yes, this past weekend was heavy with school. And there was nothing I could do to make it any different because it came down to the wire. The way everything was scheduled with school, there was no way I could get around it. Okay, there are going to be days that has to be like that. All the people that care about me have to just support that. If they don't, by the way, I've had a few guys I've dated through the years that I had to say, you're not a good fit for me because they weren't supportive of the very things that mean the most to me. Now, on the other hand, I've had guys I've dated, friends and family that are so amazing that they make things happen for me. I even got tickled. My little grandbaby yesterday, some of you probably saw on Facebook, he brought me this jar of this amazing stuff. I'm still, it's like this creamy cheesecake, chocolatey hazelnut stuff. Huh. I just laughed. He said, Mimi, you need this. You need this. And then he told me, it was so funny. He said, my mommy doesn't let me eat out of the jar, but we can. And it was the funniest expression. He had 2 spoons. He was not going to get in trouble by himself, but it was just hilarious. He kept bringing me things all during the weekend. And you know what it was? I think he just knew. Mimi's sitting there crushing it. He told me yesterday, he said, you don't have to do school. We don't do school on Sunday. And I said, Mimi has to do school on Sunday. But it was just this funny little moment. You know what, though? Even he hopped in being a support to me. That blows me away. Okay, that's good. But you know what? Today's Monday. And today is not a day where Cindy can go and have that kind of a heavy day without it. Look, if that were a continued thing, you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your relationships. You're going to lose yourself, okay? We've got to have balance, and we've got to seek for our lives to include the things that are our priorities. If they are not there, then we're not going to communicate our priorities. That means that we build those marriages. That means that we build that relationship with our children or our grandchildren. That means that we take time for that friend. That means that we take time for the ministry and time for the Lord to soak in the Lord so we have something valuable to share. It means that we invest in our bodies and in our learning. It means that we're going to have to balance this out, okay? People that say that you don't, I just want to ask about their productivity and what they're getting done. Because there is a balance to all of it. If not, I believe we're going to end up being like, I have a story that I have put that in the action guide about restoring balance to completely overloaded lives. And it goes back to one time, and this is many years ago, I thought my car was literally about to die. I mean, it was like, thump, thump, thump. Sounded almost like a log truck, which means something in the South. But it was like, thump, thump, thump. I was like, what is going on with my tire? And I ended up, I was afraid something was about to blow up or something. It was really loud, really hard to drive. And I go to my mechanic and he says, Cindy, the tire's out of balance. And it was just a little sliver of metal. That's all it took to get everything back to a smooth ride. And sometimes it takes just that little smooth something. Maybe it's getting something out of the schedule that is just past its season. Maybe it is saying yes to something. That may mean saying no to a few other things, but pruning into that really amazing thing, because that gives us the energy. It gives us the motivation. It helps us to get things done. Maybe it is just taking care of yourself and putting you on the schedule so that you are able to do the things you're called to do. Whatever it is, balance. Another thing, work with momentum. Yeah. Okay, you guys, the reality here is, and I'm just going to tell you with my life, the hardest thing I've ever done was take the leap from the job into the ministry. And I know it could never have happened if I had not had 9 months before that point where I was taking an hour to 4 hours a day just working the business. There is no way it could have happened any other way. And can I just tell you that one step is where momentum begins. One step. It might be like getting fit and healthy, going back to that one. Like to me, here's the bottom line. The hardest step is putting on my shoes. It's not taking the first step. It's putting on the socks and the shoes to get ready to walk out the door. I'm serious. That's my hardest step in the process. How about relationships? Maybe there are broken relationships that are struggling. You know what? The hardest step is saying I'm sorry. The hardest step. The hardest step is making that phone call. The hardest step is being going and doing that extra mile for that person. In the business, going back to the business or the ministry, for example, again, I just had that season of moonlighting the ministry is what I call it. I'll probably write something on it coming up. But literally, all it took was being committed to 1 hour a day, 1 hour a day. And I made it to where I got up an extra hour earlier, put my coffee on, and sat down and did the work for an hour a day. I would ask myself the night before what needs to be done. I'd have everything ready to where when I sat down, I could do it. And you guys, in an hour a day, you would not believe what I was able to do. It matches up with what a lot of gurus say. There is that 4-hour work week that's out there. Now, I don't know that you're going to be able to do all the things you want to do in your ministry in 4 hours a week. But I can definitely testify that hour a day was a wonderful start. And it was something that started momentum. It started me moving forward. It got me past the excuses. It got me past the fear. It got me moving forward. And you guys, that is one of the disciplines that took it from me just thinking it and hoping it and wanting to get back to it to actually putting it into motion. So work with momentum. Also, overcome obstacles. By the way, we are not overcome by obstacles. We overcome obstacles. God says in His Word that we are more than what? Overcome? No. More than overcomers. We are more than overcomers. What does that mean? What could it possibly mean to be more than an overcomer? It means that, you know what? This stuff that you face is not going to get you. It means that you yourself, you have power so great flowing through you with the Holy Spirit that you're not going to be overcome. You are going to be more than an overcomer. You're going to be an overcomer plus. You're going to have power. You're going to have anointing. You're going to have positioning. You're going to have provision. Come on. You're more than an overcomer. You know, one of the things God gave me years ago, He said, Cindy, do you believe in me? And I said, yeah. You know, He went somewhere with this. Yeah, I believe in you. He said, but do you believe that I can do what I say I can do in the Bible? And I said, yeah, I believe you have. He said, okay, good, good. We're going somewhere with this. Okay, so you believe that I have done the things that are in the Bible, but do you believe I could do that today? And I said, absolutely, I believe you could. You're God. He said, do you think I would do it for you? That's where we got down to some nitty gritty. Would you part the seas for me to walk through? Yeah. Would you swallow up my enemies? Yeah. Would you take down the walls to any city and make them ramps that I can get into the city if I needed to take a city for you? Absolutely. Come on. Would you use me to raise somebody back from the dead, to bring resurrection to a dead body? Would you use me? Yeah. Would you let me lay hands on the sick just like Jesus did and them recover and be well? Yes. Come on. Would you use me to lay hands on a blind person and those eyes be able to see? Yes. Yes. Okay. Would you do it? Cindy, would I do it for you? Would I do it through you? Come on. You know what I realized is I was a believer, but I wasn't quite the believer on the level that he wanted me to believe. He wanted me to believe all these things because he says that Jesus, God incarnate here on earth, said, I'm going to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come and be in you, and so that you can do the things like I did and even greater. What does that mean to us? It means all the things that we get to see him patterning out in the Gospels are things that we ought to be able to do that and greater. So we're not just overcoming obstacles. We're not just doing works. We are doing great and mighty works because the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead and overcome sin and death, is flowing through us. So we are more than an overcomer. We are more. We have all of that flowing through us. It's our inheritance. It's our calling. It's our purpose. Overcome those obstacles. Those obstacles, let me tell you, the enemy will do anything to keep you stuck. He'll do anything to keep you from operating in your fullness. Many times it doesn't even take the enemy, because I know myself, I am my very own worst enemy. So there are many times that I myself keep me from even moving forward myself. It's my belief. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, just teach us how to believe. Strengthen my faith, Lord. Strengthen it. Show me how to believe. So, overcome obstacles. Yes, that's the only way we're going to get where we're going. If an obstacle can keep you beat, let me tell you, you are pretty much going to have those obstacles till you're ready to take those mountains. They're going to be there. And they'll come in lots of different shapes and sorts and sizes, but I can promise you that the enemy with his cronies are going to come and throw them out there. If that works, they will throw it out there for you. And so overcome those obstacles and then dig in and do it. Dig in and do it. You know what? It's time. In case you've been wondering, is it time for me to do the things that I hear God saying for me to do? Yes, it is time. It's gloriously time. I love that this month, this year, actually means a time of transitions. This is the book I've been studying it, as I can grab a hold of it. It's His Appointed Times with Christina Vallis. And she's got some great videos online that I would highly recommend. This month, we just got into a new month Saturday. And that this month is a month of transition. And guess what? In just a few weeks, we move into yet another month. And that month is the month of God's provision, great ultimate provision. You guys, I just say this is the month to get moving, to transition from where you've been and to where you're going, to dare to, I'm talking about, it's not easy. transition in birth is one of the hardest parts of birth. Okay. It is the hard part of birth. That transition, you're pulling away from where you've been and moving into where you're going. And I know it's hard. Think about the children of Israel. They were so afraid at the point where they actually got out in the middle of the wilderness. And yet, that was that place, that beautiful place where they began to know God in a way they never knew him. I believe he's wanting to show you things this month. I believe he's wanting to show you things in the next few weeks that are fresh and they're new for you. And I believe that this is that time where he is moving you into your greatest moments of your life. He's got such beautiful things he wants to do with you. And you've been working, you've been productive to have ultimate productivity, to really live the life, to do the things that God has called you to do, to really get it done and not just keep on dreaming about it. It means today it is time. It's time to enter in. It's time to press in. It's time to step out. It's time to move into your promise. And just enjoy this. This is where you are your finest. Step in. It's good here. It is really good here. Step in. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for tonight. And I thank you for this time that we can just sit at your feet. And Lord, I know you're so faithful that when we will sit before you, we're going to hear amazing things that you want to share with us. And God, I just pray for each and every person represented here. They have accomplished so much this month. They've accomplished so much the last 5 months. And God, I just know that this is the moment that so many of them have been dreaming for. This is that time that they have dreamed from the time they were little. Some of them have not even really let themselves fully dream for a long time. This is it. This is that moment. This is that moment. And it's so sweet. Thank you, Lord, for thanking so much of us. Thank you so much for moving in us. Thank you for you taking vessels that have been broken in the past and using those vessels. Thank you for taking people who have failed and who have fallen so far. And yet, Lord, you restore. You restore. You choose those. Thank you. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for using us as your church, your precious bride. Lord, we ask that you just prepare us, that you move in us, that you cleanse anything that's not of you out of our lives. And Lord, that you'll just speak to us in a mighty way in the next few days as we seek you. I know you will. You're always faithful. But Lord, speak. Teach. I ask you to just do to just speak and give us those messages that bring answers to the struggles and the messes that people are in. Lord, I just ask you to give us that connection with those who need to hear your word, who need to know you. They need to know who you are and what you can do, and that you'll do it in and through them. Lord, I just thank you so much. You are so faithful. I ask you to bless the works of each and every person's hands. I just thank you. You're so good. I just pray that you are glorified, you are magnified, that we can take you to the culture and we will just make you famous, Lord. That's our heart's cry. We just praise you. We lift you on high. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, I'm seeing some sweet faces in the room. If you guys want to hop in and share anything, it's now open. Yay! Okay. Try to see what everybody said. I'm seeing this. Oh, cuteness, cuteness, cuteness. Anybody have anything to say? Want to jump in? I love it. Yep, Lucia said she had to go. She had to go help her sweetheart. However, yep, she's got some memberships coming. So excited about that. What are you guys working on? Tell us. Let's celebrate with you. I'm going to go ahead and stop live on Facebook. If you guys are on Facebook and you want to join us, there's a link right there. And you can click it and come into the room at cindyrushton.com/Zoom. Okay, I'm going to cut that off. Okay, all right, it's just us. Okay.
Tomorrow I start on a new job.
Are you? So what are you going to be doing?
I'll be copying VHSs over to DVDs.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow.
So I'll be able to do that while I'm working on something else at the same time.
That's kind of cool. I like it. Fun.
Yeah, it's. I wasn't even intending to do it, and somebody asked on Facebook, and we actually, my brother-in-law had a transfer that he let us use, and so I tell him, I said, well, that makes me a little bit more money. Thank you.
It does. Well, how about that? You know, I have got a whole huge box of VHS mm-hmm. that are from the kids being little. I would love them, you know, as DVDs, you know, or MP4s, you know.
That's cool. I switched all of ours over a couple years ago.
Wow.
So, but I had no idea. Michael looked it up. Walgreens, their cheapest is $35 to do it.
Oh, are you serious? Well, here's you again. Oh,
wow. I was like, okay.
Wow.
Because basically you just start them and let them go. I mean, you have to take it the full length of what the VHS is. But with him, he actually had commercial setup, so but I start that, but I got two of the story times done this weekend, so
wow. Okay, we should have you teaching.
No. No, but I've actually changed the format since the podcasting, because I didn't really know what to do at the ending and the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so I've got that on there now too.
My little grandson, Josh, he's the 9-year-old. Uh-huh. I remember most of him when he was little, but he's wanting to do a YouTube channel himself and talk business. And it's just cute. We were talking about that. He said, and today his parents were listening to us talk. He said, yeah, I've got, and I didn't say anything. He just said, yeah, I've just got to plan my intro and outro and I'll be ready. And Matt went, did he just say, throw an outro and he'll be ready? I loved it. I did not tell him that, just for the record. But it just tickled me. He's so funny. He's just kids.
Yeah, the little ones think that's really neat. Mm-hmm. Mountain always goes up someone, do you have a YouTube channel?
You're not official if you don't. That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, I have been working, you guys, on my LinkedIn and my Instagram. I'm very proud of myself. Just had to say that. it's been fun. I actually, I'm trying to now move everybody over to my Facebook page because I'm just a few away from being at my limits. And so I'm going to start doing everything there. I just got to remember. So, trying to learn.
I also got set up with Felice to do the LinkedIn deal. Oh, so.
Nice. Very good. Well, I love it. That's, and so, or is she going to do like a triad with you guys, with you, or is she doing?
Yeah. Well, she's going to do the coaching. I had gotten 2 hours with her and then the half hour from your first deal. And it won't take that full time, but we'll use whatever's left for something else.
It was a whole hour. Mine was.
Oh, was it a whole hour?
Uh-huh.
Well, then I have 3 hours with her.
Use that stuff.
But yeah, I figure at least I can get that started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's amazing.
Story. I've actually been getting some response. I've got two that is actually talking back and forth, one out of Michigan and one somewhere else, mm-hmm. that our virtual assistants that have been talking back and forth with me.
That's so good. So did you find any groups for virtual assistants there?
I actually, two of them have actually suggested some. So I've actually started, and there's one that's a training group. So that was kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
But yeah, there was one that was a training group, and she puts out videos once a week to help the new ones coming on. And you can always glean from them.
That is so good. That's really good. Well, I like groups like that because, you know, I may not always join in, but I do learn a lot, and I know I should join in because it's more even more effective, but there's just something about getting to learn some things. I've got a few that I'm in right now that I've been reading some of the different things that they have. It's my time's been, like, it's been literally as I'm going to sleep kind of thing. It's like, oh, it's gone. But yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, and there's something about, I think, virtual assistants that, you know, there are so many ways that they implement it that you're not really competition with each other either. That's a good thing. You can really help each other to grow and expand. So that's really good too. But yeah, you have to keep me posted on what you learn. That sounds wonderful. Oh, man. I'm finding myself tired. Are y'all tired at the end of the day today? I don't know what happened, if there's a shift or what. I think it's because I'm so wore out from yesterday. I was a tired chick.
Well, you were up so late.
Yeah, I always am. But that, it was the stress of it too. I don't do really well with that much stress, so.
Yeah, I turned to Michael. I said, she's done.
Yeah. For a week, this new stuff, I'm like, oh, don't show me the books. The grandkids were so excited. You got packages, Mimi. I was going, no. That's not cool. I mean, I want them here on time, but not today. But one thing I'm excited about, I'm getting, I think it should be arriving this week. I just ordered the new Passion translation of Isaiah. I've been able to read it some on my iPad, but I got it for me and got surprise Whitney one. And so I can't wait for them to be here. That's the packages I would like to already see here. But Isaiah is such a powerful book of the Bible. And I've read some of it, like I said, online because they've had it out since October. But I ordered it to surprise her with. So I was like, why was that not the Isaiah?
I tried to order a couple devotions from what used to be CBD, but Christian Book Distributors. And they aren't sending anything out. They've laid everybody off during this time.
Oh, wow.
So we figured that I could at least do the PDFs, and that's what I'm wanting. Because I can actually use it on my computer.
Yeah.
And they have it all shut down.
Wow.
There's nothing you can get.
Wow.
So I was kind of shocked. they're supposed to open it back up the 4th, and I'm sure the 4th they're going to be overloaded.
Probably so, because everybody's got to get their books here too, you know. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's kind of... Oh, yeah, it'll be crazy next week is what will happen.
Well, and that's a thing, because we send a lot of people, homeschoolers, there. Mm-hmm. Because their books are a lot cheaper. I will send them to the main people, mm-hmm. but there's some people that just can't afford the full price. And so we send them there, but I was like, I didn't know I was going to send them to a place that shut down.
Yeah. I get most of my school books usually on Amazon, you know, and that's kind of where I've gone for all my stuff. But because they usually have, even like some of these I think are used, but they look brand new. So mm-hmm. I make sure I've got the right edition, and then I usually order there. And if I can't get them, I'll get them at school. But mm-hmm. So.
Then do you resell them?
No, I keep everything. ORU, the year I was at ORU, they moved to doing digital books, and you only had access during the class, and I think maybe 180 days after that. And I was like, I like having all of them on the shelf, you know, especially like, okay, for example, just to show you, see how close this is? This is one of my favorite books. It's the Christ of the Mount, A Working Philosophy of Life by E. Stanley Jones. And it's actually a reprint of an old book. I actually want it in the original, too, because I'm kind of weird like that. This book is obviously intellectually owned. but I love it. I actually have thought about ordering another that is not as used by me as this. But this is such a great book. I mean, like... Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites that I've read. And I'm thinking of doing that as maybe even a book study for us here with all of us this summer, because I think it would be a really fun study. I don't normally do somebody else's books, but this is such a great source that I really think it would be a fun study for us to do. But I've got that right here, right close to me.
Well, and hands-on, I can't do it like I used to. But hands-on, especially stuff you're going to reuse to glean from, that's the only way of doing it. Because you can't, PDFs you can't mark in.
No, it's very hard to write and take a test using those. Very, very hard. So I've just become kind of, I actually have all my most needed books are here right now. But all of my other, I mean, I've got a bunch that I haven't had out because of school, you know, like I was living in my RV, so I got a bunch in storage. But there's a bunch of the things I feel like I absolutely need to write or to do Bible studies. They're mm-hmm. all here. They're I mean, right here with me. You know? So I laugh because they're not, Whitney and I pulled out a whole bunch of my like commentaries and stuff, and we were just digging in. I thought, oh, a girl after my heart, because you know? I love digging in some of those. I've got some really good ones that are some of my favorite resources, and they go everywhere I go. They're right there with the kids' pictures mm-hmm. and my Bibles.
So. Yeah, Michael has a dream of setting up all of our books downstairs. We only have a ton. That hit the garage, we converted into an extra room, and he wants to have it as a library.
Oh yeah, I would love a floor to high ceiling mm-hmm. ceiling shelves. There's two dreams I have. I have one of hitting the road in a camper. Then the other is a dream of a house with floor to ceiling, really high ceiling shelves. And so and I still am not beyond having both, you know, of course, mm-hmm. but I like seriously love shelves and stuff. But Whitney got some in the school room with the boys, and I just go in there. I'm like, I love this place.
But boy, is it a headache when you move.
I just moved myself, and it was quite a job, you know. Mostly the books are the hard ones. They're really heavy, really bulky. And so I'd have to put a little bit of books and a lot of clothes on top. So it was just the way it was. But see, there's some of it I have to have them with me. You know, it's kind of like that Sermon on the Mount. I've got that touched my life so deeply that that book has been in my car a good bit of the time, even. You know, it's just been with me all the time. So it's kind of funny how some books you kind of get attached like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I still won't let go of any of my music from my college. I've got a hold of it. I learned five different languages while I was in music. I don't know any of them now because I haven't used it for 30 years.
Yeah.
But I still won't let go of my books.
Yeah. Well, I love these books are kind of the good news is most of the things that they have us doing in school are things you want to keep, you know? So, I mean, I had a few that got damaged when the RV got flooded.
Yeah.
That made me so sad. And I bought a few of those back. That's how good they were. And so it's worth the investment even a second time for me, you know, but I've liked how they built my library up, and it's part of why I'm actually considering keeping on even for my doctorate next year. Who knows? I'm crazy. They got me hooked.
You're not going to know what to do with yourself when you graduate with your doctorate.
I don't think I will. I probably, I don't know, may go back. Well, I probably want to teach then. That'll be what I do. I will never get out of this stuff. I mean, seriously, I do enjoy it so much. I've thought about, you know, like, I trying to even teach, you know, while I'm going to school, but I don't know. We'll see. Because only thing I can teach is Bible. I have to go to a whole lot of schools.
That Bible schools have to have it too.
Yeah, that is true. Well,
I
am going to let us sign off tonight early, earlier anyway. And then tomorrow we'll be back at 3:00 and then Thursday night as well. And I'm working today not tonight. I'm going to take a break the rest of the night, but tomorrow I'll be working on the rest of the action guide for week 4. Okay. And so the other one is online. There's even an action guide for the marketing in case you guys want to see that as well. There's a link into that marketing set as well. So you guys have access to all of that. And I'm still putting audios and videos up, but it's taking me a little bit because it's a lot of stuff. We've done a lot of hard work this month. And so I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow and Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah. If y'all need anything, holler.
Okay. All right.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.